This presentation has been previously broadcast.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, hello there. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show, and thank you for listening. As ever, the number is 888-914-9149. If you're new to the show, maybe you're just starting to listen. We hear from people all the time saying, I just landed on this station by accident. I didn't even know you were here, and now I can't stop listening. We'd love to hear that. So if that describes you and you're thinking to yourself, what kind of a show is this? It's on a Catholic network, but it's definitely not churchy. Well, that's good. If that's how you feel about the show, I'm glad about that. We cover a lot of territory. We get into a lot of different topics. Some of them are God topics, certainly, but we don't have guests on this program. I don't do interviews on this program. I'm here to talk to you. So the easiest way to facilitate that, if you're interested in a conversation with me, is just give me a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I want to bring to your attention a story broke the last couple of days about North Face, which is the clothing company. And as you know, they have they have extensive like sportswear items and things. And they did a little bit of virtue signaling because they decided and they announced that they wouldn't do any business with oil and gas companies, fossil fuel companies, because according to their tweet, it's not consistent with our brand standards. Well, that kind of boomeranged back. It looks to me like virtue signaling, and all the more so after the CEO of Liberty, which is a fossil fuel company, an oil and gas company, he posted this video in which he responded to North Face's decision to target oil and gas companies by refusing to affiliate themselves with them in the form of not letting them put their custom logos on North Face apparel. And you're saying, well, why would that? Well, here's what the CEO of Liberty had to say in response to this.
I'm Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy. North Face recently came out against my industry, even refusing to let one of my competitors put their company logo on a North Face jacket. I went through North Face's website of wide-ranging products, and I failed to find a single product that wasn't made out of oil and gas. The great majority of North Face's products, jackets, backpacks, outdoor pants, shirts, shoes, hats, etc., are dominantly made out of the oil and gas that we so proudly produce. Globally, 60% of all clothing fibers are made out of oil and gas. For North Face, it is likely 90% or more. So North Face is not only an extraordinary customer of the oil and gas industry, they are also a partner with the oil and gas industry. So thank you, North Face, and you're welcome.
Zippity-doo-dah. Yeah, that, I'm sure that caused some red faces around the corporate executive meeting table when that was released. I must admit, though, Cyrus, and this is just my ignorance of the oil and gas industry, I guess. Do you own any clothing that's made from gas? Like, are you wearing some?
You know, I wouldn't think so, but I'd be surprised.
Maybe it's the invisible hat you're wearing or something that's made of gas. I just honestly have never heard of anything.
Everything is made out of petroleum and oil. Everything.
Except for this show. The show is petroleum-free.
I hope so. Yeah, but all of the equipment I'm using to get this show out on the air, there's plastic. I'm looking at so much plastic right now.
People don't even realize how early you have to come in every morning to shovel coal into the into the furnace to get the steam engine going, to get the equipment running. It's a big procedure.
Yep, coal and oil. That's mm-hmm. That's how we do the show.
I have a friend who actually is. He works. He's an engineer, so his field is science, and in particular, the science of coal and coal energy and creating electricity through coal plants. And of course, that's very much in the doghouse right now. And coal has been so regulated, practically out of existence, that it's not really feasible, according to my friend anymore, to build like a coal-fired electrical plant because the belief is that it's so dirty. But He's explained to me in great detail the tremendous strides that have been made in just that one field in terms of making it as clean as a whistle. And things that used to be problematic in terms of pollution are no longer problematic, but it still has the stigma because coal, you know, people think black smoke and soot and things like that.
And coal mines.
Yeah, Coal Miner's Daughter, the movie. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. I never did, but I'm just doing free association with you right now. I don't know where that's going, but yeah, so coal has a bad name. And I think now, at least according to my friend, it's an undeserved bad name because it actually does such a good job. You know, the people who do work in that area of making sure that it's clean of mercury and other issues like that. They do a great job. That song lives on forever, doesn't it?
On this show.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Eric now in Anaheim, California. Hi, Eric.
Hi. My wife has been on had an IUD for several years now. And okay. I'm just wondering what my responsibility is as a husband to her.
Well, do you know that the IUD is intended to cause an abortion, right? Are you familiar with that? You're aware of that?
I have learned that, you know, through listening to you.
Okay. Yeah. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
So that's why I'm struggling with it now.
Understandable. So just for those who are not familiar, and chances are all the women listening will know this, but not necessarily all the men will know this. The intrauterine device is intended, it's used in a way that will irritate the lining of the cervix so that if it will prevent implantation of a fertilized ovum. And if there is an implantation, it will agitate it and make it come off. And the natural result of that is the death of the child that was conceived. So its very purpose is to cause an abortion. And although I don't think the word abortion is the correct technical term for it at that stage, or at least in that way, that's the net result. So in a way similar to how the pill can be abortifacient, it's a very immoral thing to do. And depending upon how long your wife has been using the IUD and how sexually active the two of you have been in that period of time, this is definitely something to bring to confession. Hopefully, she will repent of this and have it removed. That would be the best case scenario. Is she at that point yet where she realizes this problem?
No, it's been a major problem in our marriage because she's had it for about 8 years and we have 7 children. So
yes, understand.
We had been very open to life. And when I talked to my local priest, he said, well, there's nothing you can do basically other than ask her. And so I was kind of disappointed in that answer, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would be too. Here's the thing, and I'm speaking to you as a married man, okay? Here's the thing. If your wife were, I mean, there are different ways this can be done. Obviously, the pill is one. And others, usually this scenario is discussed in the case where the husband insists on a condom. And by the way, parents, if this is not a topic that's suitable for your children, turn the radio down for 2-3 minutes, okay? Just fair warning, ready, steady, go. The advice that would be given to a wife in a situation like that would be if the husband insists on using a condom and she can't reason with him, he just insists on doing it, and she just doesn't want it, but he insists on doing it, then it would not be illicit for her to pay the marriage debt, if you follow my meaning, Eric. It would not be illicit. Yes. It would not be immoral for her to pay the marriage debt, knowing that she had expressed her opposition to this, but she was not able to convince the husband to do the right thing. It's different in this case. Because in this case, there's actually the high likelihood of an abortion taking place. So my advice would be, and this is difficult advice, but I think it's the right advice, would be to say, I can't pay the marriage debt, honey, as long as this would give rise to the possibility of a conceived child being killed. And until and unless you're willing to take this IUD out, I cannot render the marriage debt in good conscience. This is something I just can't put lives at risk any more than have already most likely been lost. And that I think would be an attention getter. Now, very difficult to do, but with God's grace, it can be done.
Well, I've tried that, obviously, with, and you know, the anger that it creates in her is tough to deal with.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. But how else are you going to get her attention?
Right.
And what do you do when you can't help but thinking, okay, we just renewed the marriage covenant, and what, in a day or two or three, we lose another child through an abortion?
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live that way. And I also wouldn't want to have to answer. Personally, Eric, if it were me and I had to, and when the time comes and we all have to answer to God, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed to a man to die once and then the judgment. So when we have the exit interview, I don't want to ever have been in a situation where I'd have to explain to Jesus that, you know, and he says, okay, look, you've got 40, 50, 100, 200, 500 children who were lost this way. Why didn't you take the steps to avoid that from happening? Well, I didn't want my wife to be angry with me. You see, I'm not diminishing the importance of, you know, happy wife, happy life. I totally subscribe to that. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I completely subscribe to that view in my own marriage. But there are certain things you can't sacrifice for, as much as important as it is for to have marital harmony. There's some things that you have to say, I can't do that because it's breaking God's law.
More, I'm at that point where, you know, again, and listening to you and knowing what it does, I don't want to live that way anymore.
No, you don't. Have you gone to confession yet about this?
Yes.
Good.
But not good. Not. Well, I did before, and then that's when the priest said, "Well, it's, you know, it was okay, basically, for you, because I was, you know, just being part of the marriage, and you know, it was on her, basically."
But it is on her.
I have not been able.
Yeah, it is on her. That's true, and we have to pray for her repentance. But it's also on you, and this is why I gave the comparison to the issue of the husband using a condom. Now there are other scenarios which we don't have to get into, in which the husband may insist on a certain thing or a certain action, and the wife says no, that's wrong, that's immoral. But in a situation like that, because it's not causing the direct death of the conceived child when the conception takes place, in that scenario, it would be okay for the wife to continue to pay the marriage debt, even though the what her husband was doing was immoral. She would not be doing anything immoral by paying the marriage debt under that scenario. But this is a different scenario where now you have people dying as a result of it. So maybe the priest was thinking about the first scenario.
Getting the confession is difficult out here.
True.
Everything's still closed, pretty much.
You know what I would do, Eric? Here's what I would do. You're in Anaheim, okay? You're a hop, skip, and a jump from St. John the Baptist Parish in Costa Mesa, California. It's an excellent parish. It's run by the Norbertine Fathers. You know, go to when they're having confessions or contact them and make an appointment to have confession. They'll hear your confession. Also, St. Michael's Abbey, which is, you know, the same group, the Norbertine Fathers. If you go down, say you're in Anaheim, so just shoot down the 5 freeway, get off at El Toro Road exit, and head east toward Mount Saddleback.
Okay, I know.
You know where they are out there?
But I know the area.
Yeah, so just go on El Toro Road, go east about 10 miles, and you're going to run right into St. Michael's Abbey. It's on the right side. And call ahead of time or email them and set up an appointment, and one of the priests there will be happy to hear your confession.
Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. God bless you, Eric. I know it's a difficult road that you're on right now, but this is an opportunity to grow and to be heroically virtuous. God bless you and your wife. Let's talk to Sam in Athens, Georgia. Sam, it's nice to have you on board today. Welcome. How have you been?
Thank you. Been doing well, Patrick.
Good.
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. So what's on your mind this morning?
I'm wondering, in Matthew, where Jesus says that you will go to hell for calling someone a fool, mm-hmm. Do we take that literally?
I have pondered that that very thing many times. Because there are times when I have been tempted to say that to or about somebody. And that passage sticks in my mind because I think to myself, you know, this is Matthew 5:22. If I say that and Jesus does mean that literally, then that's a serious sin. So here's the passage for those who are not familiar with it. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool shall be liable to the hell of fire. Now, what's interesting is there are plenty of times in Scripture when people are referred to as fools, but usually by God. It's typically like in Proverbs and other places. But even St. Paul refers to people, certain people, as fools. So that to me suggests that maybe our Lord did not mean that in a strictly literal sense, and that there may be some instances where it would not be sinful to say, you know, you fool, or don't be foolish or something. I don't think that he meant that any time you would say that, it would be a sin. Sometimes, perhaps. And I would liken it to in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus says, call no one on earth father. And yet we know that he didn't mean that literally, because throughout the New Testament, it's replete with many examples of the apostles, for example, and others referring to and even addressing in a religious sense men as fathers. St. Stephen, in the book of Acts, when he was about to be martyred by being stoned to death, he addresses the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders. He addresses them as my brothers and fathers, listen to me. So it was a formal term of address. So we can deduce from things like that that our Lord did not mean in a strictly literal sense, do not call anyone on earth father. He was referring to don't look to the Pharisees and the scribes for a kind of fatherhood that they don't really possess. Only God is your father. So maybe in Matthew 5:22, where he talks about calling someone a fool, it may be something like that. That's my take on it, Matthew. Or I'm sorry, Matthew, Sam.
Thanks for
Well, there's
the
your new nickname. Yeah, there's your new nickname. That's my right. take on it.
Well, thank you, Patrick.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, because of that verse over the years, since I really began to take notice of it, I have really sort of pulled back and tried to avoid calling somebody a fool, just in case. Just in case, you know, when I meet the Lord face to face for my exit interview, and he says, by the way, that passage, Matthew 5, I meant that literally. I mean, so I'm hedging my bets just in case he did mean that literally. I want to make sure that I have as clean a record as I can.
Me too.
All right. Well, look, did we get it?
Yes, sir. You hit the nail on the head, as
All
they
right.
say in the South.
Are you staying healthy? Healthy, wealthy, and wise?
I am. I had surgery about 3 weeks ago, and it was very successful, and everything is working well.
Good. I'm happy to hear it. Everyone's happy to hear it, Sam. Well, I'm going to take a break. It's a nice way to finish up this segment, talking to you. Automatic for the people. I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show right after this.